This very special episode features the wonderful Bulgarian gadulka player Kristina Beleva. This episode would not have been possible without the generous translation and voiceovers from fellow musician Milena Krasi. Milena was with us during the interview, and it's mostly her voice that you'll be hearing. Kristina is a virtuoso of the traditional bowed instrument of Bulgaria, the gadulka, which looks a bit like an upside-down violin, with usually three main strings and several resonating strings, up to 16. Kristina performs as a soloist with the ensemble Filip Kutev Folk Orchestra of the Bulgarian National Radio, the Mystery of the Bulgarian Voices, Bulgara, the Milanov-Beleva duo, and is featured on the 2019 Grammy-nominated album with David Kucherman and Lisa Gerard, Hiraith. Kristina recently released a wonderful duo album with bass player Vasil Hadjigrudev, Trikop. This episode features lots of music, and we talk about both traditional music and her fusion collaborations. Good morning, Kristina. Joining me from Bulgaria, I really it's wonderful to meet you. And you have your gadulka in your hand.
Okay.
So if you want to start with some music, and then we'll have some talking and maybe a little more music later. Beautiful, thank you. So, was that an improvisation on a traditional melody?
It was a short part from Bulgarian Rachinita. Yeah.
Wonderful. So, can you show us the instrument a little bit?
Да,
This is the traditional Bulgarian instrument called gadulka. It has three main strings, A, E, and A. It has 11 sympathetic strings, which are resonating strings underneath the three main strings. And that's why the sound is richer and fuller.
I'm curious, traditionally, did people use the strap or did people play sitting down? Was it always with the strap?
Yes, with the belt. In the past, people have used to play holding the gadulka on their knees. But nowadays, during weddings, dances, concerts, wherever people play, it's most comfortable. People use the belt and the gadulka is placed on top of the chest in the front.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you teach traditional music?
Yes, in the music academy.
I was wondering, is it by ear or with music? Is it all by ear?
With printed music, because there's a lot of information as methods and published sheet music for the gadulka. There's a lot of works written and printed, published for the gadulka as well. the same way as in the classical education for the last decades. The way that people teach the instrument gadulka in the music schools and in university is through printed, published pieces, materials, methods, and so on. Aside of it, everyone could listen and could pick up by ear whatever they hear from other musicians and performers, and enrich themselves with whatever they hear from other people that they like. For me, that's the extra quality of each musician, to learn from others and keep an open mind, to always be learning and learning new things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have traditional scales that you practice?
Yes, absolutely. In Bulgaria, there are 7 different folklore regions, and each region uses specific mode. For example, in the Strandja folklore region, most popular and often used mode is Phrygian mode, which is... In some of the northern songs, people often use the Dorian mode. As a whole, the modes are used quite a lot in the different folklore regions. For example, the Hijaz, the Makam, are used quite a bit in almost all of the folklore regions. And at the same time, very, very rarely, sometimes in some places... Perhaps in Strandja folklore region, maybe there's slight leaning towards quarter tone sounding modes. It's almost like makam with a very slight quarter tone. I can't even say it's a quarter tone sound, really. It's not leaning towards Turkish music, it's just nuances in the sound. Slight nuances in the mode and the sound of the mode. I don't even know if someone could notate them exactly and say exactly what they are. Yeah, you can hear it from time to time, but not very often. It's a very rare. It exists, but it's very rare.
So your brother was your first teacher, and then you studied with many famous teachers.
Да, тъй като всъщност от него, чрез него...
Yes, actually, because of him, I got introduced to the gadulka as instrument. His teacher, Dimitar Zlatev, was actually also my teacher. And I'm very grateful to my brother for spending so much time with me and showing me a lot of things that he had learned as well.
You have small children, and I think your eldest son is old enough to learn. Do you teach your older son how to play?
Yes, my oldest child is Boris. I have 3 boys. He's very rhythmical and very musical, but for now he has not reached towards the gadulka. He has a lot of respect towards the instrument and music and the arts in general. But for now, he prefers to do sports. But maybe in the future, who knows?
Mm-hmm. So you have done such interesting, what we call fusion, jazz and all kinds of different sounds with the gadulka. Is improvisation part of your traditional training? Was that easy to transfer that?
Maybe this is my vision of how the gadulka could participate in different musical collaborations. And I think that the instrument has an important place not only in the traditional folk music. On the contrary, this is why I collaborate very bravely with a lot of different musicians. And It's becoming to me more and more interesting what happens with all these very unusual and interesting collaborations that I do with all these different musicians.
Mm-hmm. So I love your album with a Tree Cup with Vasil, the bass player. It's beautiful.
Really?
Are you doing more projects with him?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, this summer we have a few concerts coming up, and we're going to participate in the European Jazz Conference, which this year will be held in Sofia. And we are one of the six projects. Also, we would like to record a whole album. We have a few more compositions that I hope that we'll be able to record in the near future, so that we could record a whole new album.
With Peter Milanov, are you still working with him, with the guitar player?
Yes, we still play together, not as often, but we have projects in which we both take place, including the project Buchimish of the Mystery of Bulgarian Voices. Again, we play there together. It seems like we left the duo project a little bit on the side. But instead of that, we play together in other projects in which we have been invited to participate. We invited not as a duo, but we can, when we make music, we still make music. We have the freedom to express ourselves musically the way that we usually do. Yes, of course, I will play something for sure. This is a piece that is called For You, and it's in memory of my mother.
I was wondering, you were part of a Grammy-nominated album with the percussionist, what's his name, David Kucherman? Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I was finding out about him, separate from you. And what was it like to work with him?
I met David during the project Buchimish of the Mystery of Bulgarian Voices. In that same project, Lisa Gerard was also a guest musician. And in the period of 2 years, we did a lot of concerts and we toured. We also did a lot of recordings. And actually, David called me and invited me to participate in that album with Lisa with that nomination. And the combination of the sound of the handpan and the gadulka is so warm and sounds so good together. It's like they were meant to be played together. It's very beautiful.
Yes, I bought a handpan. I'm trying to learn to play it. So that's why I found David, because it's Yeah. Yeah. So you toured with the famous choir, the mystery of, what do they call them? The Mystery of the Bulgarian Voices.
We started to tour again and have concerts. We had a few concerts in Italy. And we have concerts scheduled in Corsica and France.
Oh, with the choir, okay. And you were part of a big project that I was interested in 2011, the Oratorio, A Melancholy Beauty, about the story of saving the Bulgarian Jews during the Nazi time. So that was a big choir, seven choirs from the US and Bulgaria, and you premiered in, is it Washington or New York?
Yeah, this was during 2011 and 2013. Melancholy Beauty, it's an oratorio written in the memory of the rescue operation to save the Bulgarian Jewish people during the Holocaust. And the composer is Georgi Andreev, who is the director of Ensemble Philippe Kutev, and at the time he was also our conductor, and I was working in the ensemble at that time. This work was really extraordinary, big, massive, very beautiful, with very important message, and it was an honor of each of us who was performing to present this epic work of music and art. We performed it in the Kennedy Center, Lincoln, and Wong Center in Boston.
So it's difficult to balance being a mother and touring. I'm also a mother. Are you, in a way, the pandemic, you were home, so that was maybe easier with young children?
During the pandemic, actually, I was pregnant. I have twins, which now will be turning 1 year old very soon. At the beginning of the pandemic, it was challenging. Until I became used to this new situation, because until that moment the previous years were extremely intense with a lot of concerts, touring and recordings, and a lot of very interesting projects. And this huge change was something new and extremely unusual. It was so silent and so still that I was in shock in the first few months. And I couldn't believe that this is happening in 21st century. But interestingly, when I got used to the new situation and I adapted to it, new, much more deep and interesting and more honest ideas and things started happening. New music, new ideas. I became much more brave and precise in what I wanted and what I imagined
beautiful
musically.
And can you play a song you wrote during that time? Or I know you were, like, before you were in this band Bulgara, and it was more like rock, you know, different, and now you're doing quieter kind of music.
Ми ще опитам. Thank you.
Beautiful. We talked before, but we should record it now, about dancing and working with dancers and the rhythms.
Yes, when I was young, I used to dance folklore dances for a few years. I can definitely dance some of the more popular dances called Hoha in Bulgarian. It's interesting, the last 10 years, the love towards the Bulgarian folk dancing in Bulgaria has grown a lot. And in every city in Bulgaria, especially here in Sofia, there must be hundreds of clubs for folk dancing. And a lot of people from all walks of life go and dance there quite often. Which is really nice connection towards our folklore, towards our roots, with the time being connected with someone, holding hands and dancing the huro, passing this energy to each other. But at the moment, I prefer to be only on the side of the instrumentalists, to be just musician, and it seems that lately I haven't danced much.
And the gadulka in traditional folk ensembles, how is it used? What is the combination usually of instruments?
In the folklore orchestra, the model that was developed in 1951 with the beginning of ensemble Philip Kutev, the ensemble or the orchestra has three divisions: orchestra, choir, and dancers. And the folk ensemble has three kavals, two gaida, six gadulki divided into two groups, first and second gadulka, two tamburi, a bass, and tapan. In the orchestra of the national radio in which I play at the moment, there are also two violas and cello. Because the main goal for the orchestra is to do recordings. And the viola and the cellos add to the sound of the lower strings.
I was wondering, a lot of your videos with your duo partners are really beautiful and fun. And I was wondering if you contribute to those ideas.
For some, yes. Some are just concerts, the way that they look. But yes, I do share my ideas when there is an opportunity for that. It depends on the group that we work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the one with the feet you did, and you have nature scenes.
Yes, that's actually our idea to show Trikop. Because the piece that we're playing is Kopanica, which is a dance. And because of that, we decided to show walking and dancing legs. The idea was how visually the legs with the music will be enough to show the people how they could imagine what would be like to dance the dance when they're looking at the video.
Could you show us a few different modes, like just play the modes for us? Because your music is... it's different scales, so people can hear.
Yes, absolutely. Now I will show, I will demonstrate Hijaz.
Hijaz, примерно. Yeah.
And now I will demonstrate the ones that are the most popular, Let's say Phrygian mode. Something else? Okay, one Kopanica, which is in natural minor.
Sorry.
So much.
You're welcome.
On this podcast, I recently spoke with a Kurdish Kamancha player, and I was saying to him, it sounded Bulgarian to me, some of that. He said, "Where do you think it came from?" And of course, the Kamancha is very similar to the Gudulka.
Well, here the tradition is with irregular rhythms. With our music is more dynamically intense, where there everything is much larger. I'm talking about the folklore.
Another interesting thing for my listeners is the very first episode was with a nickel harpa player. It's a traditional instrument from Sweden, and it also has all those resonating strings, just like the gudulka. That's the same. Mm-hmm. Did you study jazz?
When I was a student and later a university student, I used to play evergreens and popular jazz standards. I tried also classical music as well. But they didn't turn so well because the gudulka is not a really very developed and perfect instrument.
But you play with jazz musicians now. So it's a real fusion. It's wonderful.
And with the time, with the experience of all the experiments that I did with the sound and musically, I developed a style that is my own, which I find very comfortable when I play the gudulka. And I would say that I got oriented towards folk music. But my sound doesn't sound just like a folk musician. My sound is developed of all of these genres that I experimented with. Yes, I think that the walls between the genres have fallen a long time ago. For example, Ravi Shankar has been doing that for such a long time with Beatles. So I don't think we're doing anything new. But maybe we're just expressing our emotions, our daily experiences.
You've been so generous with your music today. I just love your playing. Would you be willing to leave us with one more song, or is it enough music?
Of course. Maybe. Okay. I will play "Hubava si moja goro." It's very beautiful Bulgarian song. I love her. So. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for that and everything and your time today. Very nice to meet you.
Too for your invitation again, and yeah, for everything.
It's amazing we're able to connect so far. That's really great.
Hey. Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
My life is so enriched by getting to know these incredibly inspiring creative guests and their perspectives on their lives and music. Please follow this podcast and sign up for my podcast newsletter to get sneak peeks for upcoming guests and find out about newly published transcripts.